Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Jack Burnham of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Watching China and the high end of microchips, NVIDIA, AI, and the future. However, there is a contradiction in the People's Republic of China that cannot be solved with anything but irony. Jack, a very good evening to you. Your latest report underlines this contradiction. There is a ban in place from the Chinese Cyberspace Administration, CAC for acronym, banning all large internet companies, to be defined, cease buying NVIDIA processors. Why? Why are they banning the very best if they can get a hold of them? And what do they hope to achieve with this ban? Good evening to you.
Thank you for having me. I think the Chinese certainly view their AI, domestic AI stack, as being driven really by two key factors. I think the first is political control, and the second is excellence. I think that they view the AI race differently than the United States does, insofar as the CCP, even, you know, all the way back into 2014, 2015, even before AI became this huge, significant focus, the CCP set out a desire for self-sufficiency, and particularly self-sufficiency in order to maintain political control over various technical aspects that the Chinese believe would drive the modern economy, whether those be materials or AI or other types of technologies. And so I think what we're seeing now is really more of a fruition of that type of thinking of, obviously, China views itself in a race with the United States over AI development and deployment, particularly within the military realm. But at the same time, the CCP is far more focused on maintaining self-sufficiency and political control. And so I think as a result, you know, you've seen a lot of political signaling around the need for China to, you know, build out its own systems, to develop its own data infrastructure, develop its own network of data centers, chips, software, even despite the struggles that may come with it. You see a strong political aspect that is really driving that type of behavior.
DeepSeek, much mentioned months ago as a worthy competition to the development in Silicon Valley of the many companies pursuing AI excellence. These many months later, I hear DeepSeek is consumed by Americans happily. Is that correct? Is it a worthy competition with Grok, for example?
I think DeepSeek is a worthy competitor, primarily for two reasons, in a way that a lot of large-scale AI models are not. DeepSeek really became revolutionary in part because of its low costs and its open source structure. So rather than having a proprietary model, something like ChatGPT, for example, or Claude, you know, DeepSeek was an open source model. So you could download it onto your computer and run it locally in a way that you really couldn't with other types of large scale AI models. So that open source combined with it's overall relatively high quality, particularly around things like mathematical computation, which were at least initially were types of problems that other AI models like ChatGPT struggle to solve really made it quite appealing. Now, you know, according to recent studies, particularly from the National Institute of Standards and Technologies, they've found that DeepSeek maybe doesn't perform quite as well as other types of both open source and proprietary models that have been generated by American companies in particular. But at the same time, you know, DeepSeek is what I would consider a good enough AI model. It's very cheap, it's accessible, and it can perform relatively well, particularly for the types of lower end, you know, whether that be coding or programming or science problems that you might not need, you know, the highest possible end model to conduct. So the reason for its popularity is in large part because it was able to find a market niche amongst people that needed a very cheap, easy to run service. At the same time, there are some significant downsides of that. The same NIST study that found that DeepSeek had dramatically improved from iterations between its models also found that DeepSeek struggled with significant security issues. It could be jailbroken. It would give you know, CCP talking points. And so there was also certainly a dark side to some of this ease of access and compatibility that really maybe weren't as evident when it really first burst onto the world stage.
There were questions initially about DeepSeek being transparent, about how it built its model and whether they did or did not use NVIDIA chips at some stage, and whether they did or did not report all their costs. Has that all been ironed out? Are we now satisfied to say it's cheaper and good enough?
It'll ever be fully ironed out. DeepSeek, part of DeepSeek's appeal came from the fact that it published some of its foundational models and some of its original research, you know, publicly, so people could go online and read what the creators had done and follow some of their methodology. That was part of its open source nature. You know, whether there is some evidence to suggest that DeepSeek likely did use particularly NVIDIA chips during some of its training runs, there's debates over whether or not the costs, which were at the time, you know, reported to be significantly lower than other similar AI, American AI models, whether those costs just accounted for the full training cost or a subset of training costs, or whether or not NVIDIA potentially trained itself using other proprietary models, you know, trained itself off of ChatGPT or Claude. And so I think there's been, you know, there continues to be a lot of debate and discussion over, you know, is DeepSeek the, you know, is it really as cheap and as powerful as its creators claim. And I still think it's, you know, it'd be difficult to iron out exactly what the cost was and how to account for this and that aspect of it. But at the same time, I would say that DeepSeek really did present a significant challenge to the United States insofar as demonstrating that China could produce, you know, this type of model, even regardless of the costs or the equipment, that really China and Chinese engineers could put together an entire complete package that would be competitive against some of the other offerings that were at the time really dominating the market.
We have a minute left. Now we come to the contradiction, the limitation of firms to use the best chips that are available means that in the contest, the political leadership is settled for second place. Is that voiced anywhere? We have about a minute.
I wouldn't certainly say that the CCP views itself as settling for second place. What I would say is that the CCP views itself as wanting to assert political control, and that it views itself, this selfish efficiency model, as being a way to harden itself against any leverage that the United States might possess. This is something that's gone on from critical minerals to other types of sectors in which the CCP has cultivated this self-sufficiency, this strong domestic market in order to insulate itself from potential American pressure and preserve its political autonomy within its dealings with the outside world.
Jack Burnham, watching China, especially China and the pursuit of AI, for the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home, thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.